You're listening to a podcast of The Lounge, weekdays 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. right here on Word Radio, 96.1 FM and 900 AM WURD.
Excited and so thankful for his patience, but to have Gregory Nesmith on. He is the CEO and founder of Underdog Stuff. And in addition to that, he's also a published author, certified leadership coach, investor, and advocate, and former host here at Word. So, hey, welcome to the lounge.
Hey, it's good to be here. I always feel like Philly is home, but also Word is home, too.
You know, once you're family, you're always family.
Yes, indeed.
All right, so I want to take advantage of time as much as possible. Let folks know, I gave them the rundown of like just your titles, but let folks know in your own words who you are and what you do.
I'm out here every day looking to figure out how we get underdogs, basically our people, mm-hmm. access to the people and resources they need on their come ups and comebacks. And mm-hmm. that comes to life in doing things like creating content, working with the youth, investing, creating the company Underdog Stuff. And so, you know, that's some of the stuff I do, along with being back in Philly to be back in school on top of that. So I'm an entrepreneur and, at least for the next year, a student, too.
And where are you a student at?
I'm at Penn back there to get my undergrad degree. I actually went to Penn back in the 90s.
Okay.
Didn't finish. And coming back now to finish something I started a couple years ago.
How does that feel?
It's wild.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's crazy to be back sitting in classrooms with, you know, 19 to 20-something year olds. But the one thing I realize is that we can always keep learning, right?
Absolutely.
And it's just another opportunity for me to see what it's like to be a better student.
Yeah.
This time around.
So technically that makes you a non-traditional student.
Yes.
When I was in college, I was a non-traditional student, but more so because I was a student parent, right? Yes. So I went to Temple and, you know, had my daughters while I was going to school full time. And it's funny, on Wednesday, I believe, we're actually going to have co-founders of a non-traditional student organization on to discuss it. So I'm glad you're speaking about your experience being back in a classroom. And shout out to all those folks who are thinking about going to school, going back to school. Don't let your fears and doubts prevent you from achieving that dream or goal that you had, you know, so long ago. What helped you to overcome any fear or anxiety that you had about going back?
I think, so I didn't finish. I'm from Philly, mm-hmm. went to Parkway High School, showed up at Penn's campus as a 17-year-old freshman, and never quite felt like I fit in. Mm. Didn't think that I was that well prepared to be there, and just a lot of doubt and fear about it all. And I think why I'm back now is that I just don't believe that anymore. And I just don't think that's me now. And so I get to go back and have it work out differently this time. And then, of course, the support that helps is having family and friends and having a ritual, using tutors, which I had such a big ego back when I was younger, too. I didn't want to ask for help. I tried to figure it all out. And so I've been using my tutors, all that stuff. So all those things kind of help it all work out. And I'm glad I'm back.
Yeah.
To finish
it. I'm glad you are, too. I can't wait till you call in or you come back and tell us, you know, you did it. We're going to celebrate you.
I can't wait to have my parents finally see me walk. They've been waiting a couple years.
Listen, it's going to be worth the wait. But can we keep going? Want to take a break? What you want to do? Look, we playing this by ear, y'all, because we've been out here getting it done today. All right, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back on the other side, I want to dive into Money Monday, because like you mentioned, you are an investor. And this thing just kind of came to me, like if your money ain't right, if your mind isn't right, your money won't make sense. And as an investor, I'm sure you can offer some perspective on that. I recently came across this article that just offered like the mindset that's required for entrepreneurship. So I want to get your thoughts on that. Maybe you can come through with a word for our folks so they can get their mind right so the money is great. And then we'll talk Underdog Stuff.
Sounds like a plan.
Literally Underdog Stuff. All right. So, loves, you are in the lounge, and I am chatting with someone that you now need to know and follow and connect with, Gregory Nesmith. He's the CEO and founder of Underdog Stuff, also a published author, an investor, an advocate, certified leadership coach, and so much more. We'll be right back. We're going to take this break, and see you on the other side.
The Lounge with Sincerely Sarita.
Sincerely Sarita.
Right now on Word Radio.
And we're back. I am in the lounge with Gregory Nesmith. because I've been saying his name wrong this whole time, y'all. Neesmith. Gregory Neesmith. He's the CEO and founder of Underdog Stuff. And Gregory, just kind of jumping into our conversation for Money Monday. Mm-hmm. Right, because you are an investor, you're an entrepreneur. I had came across this article that, you know, featured like successful South African entrepreneurs sharing their 12 mindset hacks, some of which were like, change one thing, change everything. It's so important to have self-belief, focusing on your goals, training our brains to perform better. And so I was like, you know what? We really got to have this conversation about how if your mind ain't right, your money won't make sense. And so I'm interested to know or hear from your perspective, your take on the mindset that's required for entrepreneurship, because it's not an easy walk.
No, it's not. But it's actually in line with a walk that gives, I think, all of us some more freedom and some more opportunity. Mm-hmm. I remember in my 20s hearing somebody say one of the most riskiest things you can do in life is have one job and one stream of income. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the entrepreneur mindset or the wealth mindset is about how can I just diversify, have money coming in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. And because of the uncertainty of entrepreneurship, my mindset is like, how do I have money come in from a lot of different ways? Have money work harder for me mm-hmm. than I saw my parents work for it. And then early in my life, how hard I worked for it. Mm. And so I'm big on how do we start investing, not just saving. Mm. And that's what got me into real estate investing and also investing in some businesses and stocks and startups and things like that. Because it's nice to be able to sit here and know that my tenants are paying for the cost of the place I own, but also I get some money coming in every month, right, along with the other side hustles and entrepreneur thing and stuff that I'm doing.
Got you. And so for you, what was the biggest shift that you made when it came to your mindset and money? Like that biggest mindset shift that kind of opened you up to really stepping into your role as an investor and as an entrepreneur?
For me, it felt like gambling when I was younger, when you hear people say, oh, you put some money in on this and then all of a sudden you get a payback. But I think the biggest shift for me was that if I invested in things like real estate, that literally I could create money. Mm. And I didn't have to go someplace from 9 to 5 every day to do it. Mm. And that if I could buy what I know, oh, that house, it's a 3-family home. Mm-hmm. People, I can live in one of the units and rent out the other two, and all of a sudden the largest expense that almost anybody has in their budget, which is their rent or their mortgage, it's like, cool, there's people who will help pay that for me. The asset will grow while I'm living there, and then I've taken care of one of the largest expenses in my budget because I decided instead of buying a 1-family home, I just bought the same size house that's just chopped up into 3 apartments. Mm. So it's things like that. So the shift of that, if I invest, I can actually create money and then go free up time to go do other things.
Got you. So if you had to give a Money Monday message about mindset and shifting it so that you can, you know, as a community, we open ourselves up to abundance and to wealth, what would that be?
It would be two things. Find people to partner with when it comes to investing your money. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. I started a business with a couple of friends a couple of years ago where we pooled money together from our family and friends to go out and buy properties, renovate them, and then sell them. Because individually, I don't have that much money.
Right.
But guess what? If you pull together 500 of your friends and they each put up $500, you'd have $250,000 to go make
something
happen.
I gotta find 500 friends. You don't have me out here in these streets. Will you be my friend? Will you be my friend?
It's one of the reasons why I started Underdog Stuff. It's to start to find out how do we pull people together.
Right.
Because it's one of the ways you can create wealth. So I would say get with people who you're rolling with. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing would be that it's time for our money to work harder than we work for.
Gotcha. And speaking of Underdog, for those who may not know about it, can you kind of tell folks what Underdog is, Underdog Stuff is, and why you created it?
I created it because I've been lucky to get access to places like Penn. Mm-hmm. I had a corporate job at Kraft Foods for 16 something years, then left that to become an entrepreneur. But I've had access to people and resources along the way that have helped me. Mm-hmm. And I started Underdog Stuff to almost be like the plug or the hookup or the inside scoop to help other folks who I know that it's not the talent that's the challenge, it's sometimes access. Mm-hmm. And so Underdog Stuff has two pieces, community content that helps folks do better with their work and their well-being. Mm. And then the other piece is community capital, where we start to crowdfund real estate investment opportunities together, and we have the power of our dollars together to go make stuff happen. And as you know, real estate is one of the ways that wealth gets created. And for a long time, whether we go back to redlining or the a lot of different issues we face as brothers and sisters, I think it's time for us to leverage it as a way for us to be free and wealthy and more empowered, as opposed to being something that we've been left out of.
So thinking about two things that you said that's sticking out to me, the wellness and then the crowdfunding, right? Real estate as a way to wealth. On that wellness piece first, we just had this whole conversation about, you know, the gun violence that our city is dealing with. And I'm thinking about how many folks in our city feel like an underdog, yeah. You know, of all ages, but feel like an underdog, whether it's because of, you know, because of what we're seeing in our leadership, political leadership, because of what that paycheck says, but ain't really stretching enough. Just feeling like the underdog in life, and that leading to situations that involve gun violence. What's your perspective on, number one, the events that have happened, but number two, on what we can do as a community to make sure that, you know, the underdog prevails?
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me, I grew up in Philly. I was here from, well, born in 75, but here until like 98, mm-hmm. Left for 20 years in New York and came back. And it's sad that, you know, as they say, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Mm-hmm. And that I remember the years where we were one of the more violent cities, mm-hmm. in the country. And so I lean towards a lot of mental and emotional support for our youth and even our adults. And so I think you mentioned this earlier. I love the idea of going out on the block and having pop-up counseling, mm-hmm. pop-up therapy, pop-up coaching, encouraging folks to go to those group sessions or men's groups and things like that. Or, to your point, bringing it to them. Because until we get some of our thoughts and feelings together, until people know that someone cares about them, someone listens to them, people get to learn how to handle their emotions, stuff's going to keep on happening. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things we got to do is go into the communities and start talking to folks with professional support. Mm. Because our mom and dads, that's not their job. Mm. They're not, I mean, they're helpful, but we need professionals can help us in these, mm-hmm. situations.
That, so, yeah, additional support.
Yeah, bring the therapist, bring the coaches, bring them out.
Yeah, I feel you.
Go directly to the people.
You know, I feel that. And then on the other side, right, the, yeah. You spoke to wealth, and particularly us achieving wealth through real estate, right? And that's got me thinking about just the gentrification that's happening. And this discussion has been going on different shows here at Word, but how, you know, if we were to go about that crowdfunding route, we could push back against gentrification.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things I'm working on, I'm in an incubator program now to fine-tune the business model and then hopefully eventually be able to scale it. But one of the things that I'm wrestling with is, what's the vision? Mm. And for me, the vision would be for us to have self-sustaining communities. Mm. And one of the roadmaps to that is education and housing, right? Mm. And so this is at least the housing piece. And imagine if we get to buy places, we get to set what the rents are.
Right.
We get to have a certain amount of places allocated to those who may be going through foreclosure or tough times, or someone's kid just got into a school in the area and you have an apartment for them. Mm-hmm. And so I just think a lot of stuff gets unlocked through real estate. And I talked about the access. It's not that we each need a lot of money, but if we each were working together, we actually would have a lot of say as to what can happen. And so that's the big vision of this whole underdog thing, is how do we have both the awareness to do better, mm-hmm. and have access, but then also how do we take actions? And I think, you know, we're not talking about coming up, but we're not also talking about money.
Yeah, I know that's right.
Unless this
that's
place
a
becomes a socialist place or something changes. Fortunately or not, right? It's still old saying, one of our mentors used to say, if you want to have a community center, love can't organize money. Mm. So you want people who are loving and then can also run something, mm-hmm. just like you don't want someone who can like run something who doesn't care, you want both. Mm-hmm. And so I want us to be able to have purpose and care about the people and make some profits too.
Yeah, and you know, I think about, because I've had this conversation in different spaces, and it's funny, one of the main things I hear is like, I don't even trust my family with my money. How am I, like, I don't like the idea of crowdfunding real estate. And so in that way, it's like we limit ourselves because we don't even trust each other. Well, how can we get past that? Or what are some things that we should consider when it comes to crowdfunding real estate and selecting who we're going to be doing that with?
Yeah, so I think one of the things I've learned over the years when it comes to coaching is this idea of there's things that I've had to let go of or unlearn.
Hmm.
So one of the things I had to unlearn was that you don't mix business and pleasure, or you don't do business with family.
Mm.
And so I learned that growing up, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's people listening who learn it too and still believe that. And then you see things like, I mean, actually the Trumps are a random but an interesting example because they're in the dealing with family seems to be working out for them.
Mm.
They got the son-in-law in there. They do stuff with the Trump family name. So, you know, we see all these examples of if we bring it closer to home, the Lomaxes.
Mm-hmm.
There's family mixing family business and stuff all the time. And so I would say it's okay to feel that way, but just know that it may feel true to you, but it's not the truth. Mm-hmm. We get to work with the people that we can trust, and sometimes that's family and sometimes it's not. But there is no all one way or the other.
Gotcha.
And then also, I know that that is a cultural issue sometimes. So one of the things we're doing is building a track record of documenting the steps so you can show right. people like, this is what happened, this is who put in the money in, this is what they got back, helping folks know that there's some guarantee in at least getting their principal back if they don't get a return, because we know that there's some angst around that
mm-hmm.
about trust. And then also just a lot of us can't afford to lose any of the money that we made anyway.
Any money. Right.
So we take all those things into yeah. account, and we want to also just build up a track record where folks know that they can trust us too. And we're very transparent about the things we do too.
Yeah. So listen, loves, if you're tuning in, I'm chatting with, well, you are tuning in and we appreciate you. I'm chatting with Gregory Neesmith. He is the CEO and founder of Underdog Stuff, and I'm curious to know, like, do you believe in mixing family and money, family and business? Right, call in and let me know. Like, would you do business with your family members? Is that something that you're like, I don't trust my family? Like, let's have that conversation, because I think that's really important for us to get real about, like, where we're at, especially since we're talking about community, right? And what it's going to take for us to save ourselves. How are we going to save ourselves if we can't trust each other, right? So call in and let us know, like, do you believe in doing business with family? Have you done business with family? How'd that turn out? Our hotline is 215-634-8065 or toll free 866-361-0900. You can also use those numbers to call in if you have a question for Gregory about you know, real estate or Money Monday questions, all of that good stuff. But Gregory, you know, jumping back into this, what are your thoughts on it? Because this is something I haven't necessarily seen, especially when we're thinking about family and business. For families who would consider it, I don't know if it would look like group counseling or coaching to kind of work through those issues and unpack them. And I love that you all are working on, like, documenting those steps. Yeah. Do you all do group counseling? Do you feel like that's something that we need to see in our happening in our community, to have that, like, group financial counseling?
I do, and I think, you know, words matter. So there's a saying, it's not personal, it's business.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true. You know why? Because there's people involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of it, I think, it's just unlearning and letting go of, it actually doesn't matter if you do business with family or not. Do business with people you trust.
Mm.
And now, all of a sudden, there's going to be people in your family you trust, so you'll do business with them. There'll mm-hmm. be people who aren't in your family that you trust, and you'll do business with them. And some of these labels throw us off. Some of these cliches, some of these things we're raised about, don't mix business with pleasure. I mean, when folks get married, they're mixing business with pleasure.
Mm.
Mm. They got joint bank accounts and other stuff. They have a contract with the law and the Lord. So, I mean, we mix in business and pleasure right. all the time. So just like with marriage and business, get into it with somebody you trust.
Right. They say business is, a business partner is legit like a spouse. You got to make those decisions together. You have to, you know, determine best course of action. And yeah, and, totally right.
And imagine what it's like to win with someone that you care about. Mm.
So much more fulfilling.
It feels good.
And especially when, you know, it's folks who are directly tied to your community, right? Like, your family is a microcosm of the larger community.
Think about it. So that's the breakthrough, right? So we get to practice and learn a lot of things with our family and friends. Mm-hmm. And if we can't find some family and friends that we trust, it's going to be even harder when we widen it up to our quote-unquote brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. If we can't do stuff with our brothers and sisters.
Mm. Mm. You come. This is why you're a motivational speaker. You're coming through dropping these gems, y'all. These gems. I'm telling you, call in. Enjoy the conversation. 215-634-8065. Toll free 866-361-0900. Your thoughts on family and business. And I think that is something definitely I'm glad we're having this conversation, because I don't think we have this enough. This kind of conversation when it comes to wealth. It's always very much, you know, entrepreneurship, follow your dreams. But expanding that, like, we got to expand that to think about what does that look like in the context of family and us building generational wealth together.
Yeah, I mean, even, and it didn't happen for a lot of us, but for those of us who were lucky enough to have families where our parents or grandparents had a house, mm-hmm. and then passed it on, y'all doing business together.
Yeah, that's true.
Estate sales, who's getting the will, who's going to get the couple thousand dollars that grandma left, like that. This is, money is a part of the life.
Yeah.
And so financial literacy is important. But to your point about the mindset.
Yeah.
Is that we get to do well and do good together.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why I also picked real estate, along with some of the business coaching, life coaching that I do, is that I remember reading, I think it was Warren Buffett who said, one of his rules is don't lose money because you went on the buy. But the other rule was invest in what you know. Mm. And I don't know about biotech stocks and bonds and stuff like that. And of course, I can read up on that stuff. But I know that building, mm-hmm. it either is in shape or it's not. I know the people or companies are going to pay money to live in there. And like, I get it. I can understand it. I can go touch it. I can see it. And so I think it's also another reason why it's kind of cool for us to do stuff together, because we also kind of have a knowledge of it too.
Yeah.
Along with us working out how do we trust each other and everything like that.
That's true. And I think in tying this kind of to the larger conversation that we've been having today about community, about saving ourselves, you know, about what the root of gun violence and just the disconnects that we're seeing. So many folks have, you know, mentioned poverty being that. And here we have an option. And that is, you know, actually doing business together by, first of all, breaking those mindsets, those outdated mindsets about family and business. And I get it, you know, like you said, for those out there who just really are having a hard time wrapping your mind around trusting family, do business with people
that,
right,
you trust.
And that people that you trust, family or otherwise. But I'm thinking about, you know, that larger conversation and how if we were to take that route more often, because there are Black families out there who are doing, you know, building their businesses and have their kids and everything working there. But if we were more intentional about doing that, so that we get ourselves out of here, what would be the ripple effects of what we see happening and changing in our community? And I think that, you know, opportunities, shout out to the caller, Jocelyn, who spoke to, you know, youth wanting three things, money, attention, and love. I think that was the third one that she mentioned. This is one way that we can start to kind of create ripple effects.
Yeah, I mean, again, I go back to, because I think it's always good sometimes when there's like an example. You've been around 500 people before at mm-hmm. a concert, at some event. Mm-hmm. Average money we spend on Christmas, I think, is somewhere between $300 to $1,000. I mean, obviously, people who are wealthy spending more than that. Mm-hmm. But the average person,
yeah.
if you just took one Christmas off and then 500 people put $500 together, that's $250,000. You can go buy a place and then rent it out. Go buy a place, renovate it. sell it, have money coming back to you plus the 500 you put in. But then all of a sudden the ripple effect is, if I own a place, I get to choose what the rents are.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I can make sure you have a place to live. And then it's a win-win. You can have family there. And one of my places, my friend's mom lives there.
Mm.
What's it like to make sure that
your friend's mom is good?
She's good. Yeah. Haven't raised rent in 5 years. She helps me pay my bills. She looks after the place. I know she knows I care about her. This is what's possible. Mm. The ripple effect is when someone's about to get kicked out of their place, we might have a fund that we can go in and help them out. And
help them. Yeah. And you know what? I'm even thinking as you're talking about, you know, as a community, right, or a neighborhood, organizing a meeting and asking that question, like, who all celebrates, you know, what holidays where you tend to spend a lot of money? What are your thoughts on, as a community, if we all agree that for the next year or two, we will not put money towards those holidays? Instead, we're going to bring in a legal person, you know, to help us work through paperwork, or bring in Underdog stuff to help us, like, start to move and take that money and put it into a secure account and build that up so that we can make this investment together.
Yeah, I want us to own the building that Word is in. I want us, like, this is all the things, like, education and housing are some of the pillars to having a community. And we've been shut out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's worthwhile, because then we get a say in what's happening to our communities. And imagine if they instead of gentrified, they were, you know, it was a blackout.
I like that. Blackified. All right, well, I got to get ready to let you go. But this has been a great discussion, and we're going to have to bring you back, of course, because we need more Underdog stuff at Word. But it's Father's Day has passed, and I saw on your social I believe that you did a message or something to fathers.
Shout out to the revolutionaries.
Yeah, so I wanted to make sure that we created, you know, just a quick 30 seconds that you might have a motivational message for our fathers out there.
No, I just wanted to say it goes back to a saying from Abby O'Doon, who's one of the founding members of The Last Poets, and he talked about one of the most revolutionary things a man can do is to start, build, and sustain a family.
Mm.
And it made me think about my dad, who I was in foster care and then adopted, raised by my two parents, who I call my parents now. And I met my biological parents not too long ago, too, so shout out to them.
Wow.
But, you know, my dad doesn't have thousands of social media followers. He's not famous. He's not being asked to be interviewed on WRD. But my dad that raised me is part of the revolution.
Mm.
Right? He started, sustained, and built a family. He takes care of my mom, got me to where I am. And I just wanted to celebrate the dads who are out there doing stuff, who maybe they aren't activists.
Mm.
Maybe they aren't, you know, going to be on TV. But they get to be celebrated.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to give a shout out to the dads to know that they are revolutionary, they are heroes, and they are making the world a better place. If the only thing they do is take care of their kids and the women, the mothers of those kids, that's a big deal.
It matters. It absolutely matters. Well, thank you for that. Gregory Neesmith, CEO and founder of Underdog Stuff. Let folks know where they can follow you at, learn more about Underdog Stuff and what you got going on.
You can go to gregoryneesmith.com or to underdogstuff.com, and it takes you to the same site. And on there, there's links to all my social media and IG. I'm at the Gregory Neesmith. And if you go to the website, just click subscribe and you'll be on my email list and get all the updates about what we're doing with community content and community capital.
All right. There you have it.
You've been listening to a podcast of The Lounge, weekdays, 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. right here on Word Radio, 96.1 FM and 900 AM WURD.